Hi, I'm Tracy Ricks Foster, and welcome to this week's edition of Off the Wall with Tracy Ricks Foster. This is a very special and sobering episode for me. I will be discussing my journey with depression, and I'm hoping to give or pass along some tips and some ideas how you can cope and manage your everyday life with depression. However, I want to say that any advice given during this broadcast, any suggestions, ideas should not supersede, substitute, or replace the wellness plan that you have with your primary care physician or your therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist. I want to also say that any advice or ideas or tips given within this broadcast should not prompt you to discontinue or stop taking the medications that your primary care physician or therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist has prescribed for your daily regimen. Now, the last time we talked about the different symptoms of depression. And some of those symptoms were losing interest in the things that you have a passion for, the things that you do every day, irritable mood or mood swings, sleep problems, which means you don't sleep enough or you sleep too much, change in your appetite. You could have or develop an eating disorder, agitation or severe anxiety or panic attacks, suicidal thoughts, unrealistic view of your self-image, low energy or change in self-care, significantly worse concentration. If you have 2, 3 or multiple symptoms from this list, you should go and seek professional help. And those that have been diagnosed with clinical depression, then we know that these symptoms can come upon you, and it can just wreak havoc in your life. And I am coming out of episode of depression, and I have noticed that my symptoms, as I get older, my symptoms have changed in how my episodes have changed. So I go through bouts of no sleep or very little sleep, and then sometimes that turns into insomnia will turn into a lot of sleep where I'm sleeping all the time. Another symptom that I have dealing with depression, clinical depression, is I'll go through bulimia. And I've been dealing with bulimia since I was about 11 years old. So bulimia is not a new friend for me. Bulimia is an old friend. Lack of interest in my passions, things that I love and that I hold dear. I lose interest in it, or I allow it to just drift off into nothingness, or my studio and my bedroom area is chaotic, because for me that's a symbol of me losing interest and not caring. I go through moments where I don't bathe, I don't shower every day. I've gone days without showering. Days. Days, I tell you, days. And that's all the symptoms of me going through or having a manic episode of clinical depression. I was first diagnosed with clinical depression. At the time, it was called manic depression. And I was first diagnosed with it at the age of 13. And I had attempted suicide. And upon me being hospitalized, I was able to have therapy every day, and that's when I was told that I had manic depression. And for young people, which manic depression now is bipolar disorder. And when I was first diagnosed with manic depression at 13, there wasn't a lot of information out about it. There wasn't a lot of information out about depression, especially for adolescents. And usually, back then in the early 80s, there was a lot of misinformation about depression, but a lot of Americans were not really aware of what depression really was. And at the time, there were only maybe one or two medications that people who dealt with manic depression were given. There were only two, and one of those medications was lithium. So today, as you know, and as commercials tell you, there are a number of medications that people who are dealing with clinical depression can be administered. So we've come a long way in the field of mental health disorders, and that's a great thing, and it's a great time to be alive and to be dealing with clinical depression. But my clinical depression was not managed with medication or with therapy, because my family was in the throes of religiosity. And at that time period, depression was deemed as something that a person was going through because they weren't spiritual enough. Excuse me. And so lack of spirituality was linked to depression. And there are a lot of people who still think that way today, that depression is a figment of someone's imagination, and the reason why depression exists is because of a lack of spirituality, which is false. Depression is a chemical imbalance in the brain, clinical depression. And now we can actually see what clinical depression looks like, because there are CAT scans that you can view on Google. And if you go to Google and see the images of what a brain looks like before a clinical depression, before a depressive episode, and what a brain looks like in the middle or in the midst of a depressive episode, and you can see the difference. It's real. So today, with technology the way that it is, there's no reason why people should have the misconceptions that they do and the judgment that they do surrounding people who are living with clinical depression. It really doesn't make sense, but here we are. Here we are. There are many things that you can do to cope with clinical depression, but I'm going to say this, that when you first enter that episode of clinical depression, your motivation is very low. It's the beginning. So by the time that you're in the middle of it, then you can begin to incorporate some of the things that you need to incorporate to help you get to the end of it and to hopefully prevent or lessen episodes of clinical depression. You also, as I noted before, if you are on medication right now for your clinical depression, please continue to take those. Please continue to allow yourself to be managed by your therapist in that way. If you and your therapist have come to the consensus where it's time for you to be removed from the medications, then some of the things that I will discuss today, you can implement fully in your life. But I don't want to tell anyone, and I do not want anyone to get the impression that they should just come off of their medications and, you know, jump into something, a therapy or an idea that's non-traditional and, you know, unconventional. I don't want that. No, I do not want that for you. I want you to remain healthy. And if you're under doctor's care, to remain there. So as I said, when you are coming, you are in the middle of your manic episode. I don't know if people if you are a person who suffers depression or you have a bipolar disorder. And for me, I am bipolar 1. So my bipolar can sometimes transform into 2, but I'm usually on a level 1. So that means that I can cognitively, I know when I'm going into an episode. What I do now is I implement certain things to prevent an episode. And if I'm going into an episode, I also have tools that I use to help pull me out, get me to the end of the episode. And as I said, once you're beginning the episode, it's really difficult to, you know, it's difficult to navigate some of the tools that I'm, you know, getting ready to talk about, because you have low motivation. You don't feel like it. You know, you're at the beginning of what you're at the beginning of, and you just don't feel like dealing with it. You don't feel like listening to music. You don't feel like writing. You don't feel like doing certain things. You just don't. But when you get to the point where there's an inkling that you do feel something, I'm going to show you what to do. Now, for me, what I do is I have goals or something that I'm working towards. And when I am in the middle of a crisis, there's something within that goal that I can do every day. So one of the tools that I use to control my depression and to keep me at an even keel is I crochet. And actually, I do several things. I crochet. I am a jewelry designer. And I write. So I am a writer. And I love music. So when I am in the middle of a depression, I'm going through it. Not at the beginning, but I'm in the middle of it. If I am at the beginning of my depression, if I'm able to crochet for maybe just 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes in 15 minute increments, that may be 15 minutes in the morning, that may be 2 or 3 rows in the morning, or 2 or 3 rows in the afternoon, or maybe 2 or 3 rows at night, that's good, because that's getting my mind to begin to think about something else. Because when I'm crocheting, I'm thinking about the design. And with crochet, it's a lot of counting. It's a lot of counting. It can get technical, and you have to be focused. So when I'm at the beginning of a depressive episode or a manic episode, I crochet, and I'm only able to crochet maybe 15 minutes. That may be 2 or 3 rows out of something. But when I'm not in a manic episode, when I'm not going through a depression, I have 5 or 6 different projects that I'm working on. So that when I am going through an episode, I just pick a project and I work on that. And I find that crocheting helps to lift me up and pull me through my episode. And it's a calming, a soothing mental exercise for me. Another thing that what I would suggest for you is that you find something that you love, that you love to do, that when you're going through or having an clinical depressive episode, a manic episode, you'll be able to pick it up and you'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to use it as therapy for about 15 minutes every day. If you can do more than 15 minutes, maybe 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes at night, that will help to calm you, bring you peace, give you some type of serenity. Just 15 minutes. So it could be painting. It could be writing poetry. It could be putting projects together. Like my son, he is like a master. He's like a Lego master. And that's something that calms him and soothes his spirit. And if there's something that you like to do, and you can do it in small 15 doses, 15 minutes, those small 15 minute doses, if you can do that, it would be great. Whatever it is, like I said, painting, crocheting, knitting, creating some type of artistic feature, whatever it is that you like to do, and it brings you peace, do it in 15 increments, 15 minute increments of time. And that's going to help lift you and pull you through this particular depressive episode. Another thing that I find that I really enjoy doing is when it comes to interest is I enjoy reading. That's my passion. I love reading and I'm a writer. And what I found is that subscribing to Audible is a great help, because if I'm going through, when I'm going through depression, and this is at the beginning of my depression now too, at the beginning of my depression, I turn on a book because I may not feel like picking up a book and reading. I may not have the energy to do that. So I turn it on. And that's what's wonderful about Audible is that you can select books and have certain books feed your mind. And I find that when a book is being read to me, I'm comforted. And so at night, I have a book going on Audible. I'm in love with Outlander, the Outlander series. And so I have it on Audible and I turn it on at night, and that's what I listen to, and it soothes me, and I go right and I go to sleep. And when I wake up, you know, if I'm having an episode and I wake up and I'm listening to Outlander, I'm trying to see what's going on with Jamie. I'm doing that, Jamie and Claire and the whole gang. So I'm on their adventure. And my mind is concentrating on the book that's being read to me. And you can find, if you don't want to invest in Audible each month, then YouTube has some great books, that audio books that are featured, and just pick some of what some, you know, Jackie Collins. I haven't found that yet on YouTube, in audiobook form, but there are other books that are novels that are there. And then you can discover also new authors by listening to audiobooks. Like I've just discovered Nora Roberts. I'm going through her Key of Life series right now. And so that's another thing. You know, as going through depression, I don't necessarily feel like picking up a book, but I can surely listen to it, because all it takes is my finger. I let my finger do the walking, and then that's it. I have a book, and I'm listening to it, and it helps bring me out. It draws me out, and I'm able to ride the episode out. I'm able to deal with my depression in that manner. Another thing that could help is music. If you are a music lover like I am, and I love music, turn on some music, child. Turn on your favorite jams. Let that ride you. Let that motivate you and get you to going and get your blood pumping and get that fire going in you. And like I said at the beginning of your episode, your manic episode, or at the beginning of your depression, you may not feel like listening to any music, because I sure didn't. I sure don't. You know, but somewhere in the middle, you will begin to feel something. You will begin to feel shades of yourself. And when you do, turn on the music, because that's exactly what I do. When I start, I'm in the middle of it and I'm starting to feel like, okay, I'm coming around. I can do this. I turn on some music. I turn on some Aretha Franklin. I turn on some Jacksons. I turn on either, you know, the Jackson 5. You know, I go through the Jacksons period. You know, I go through Michael Jackson as a young person, then Michael Jackson as a young man, and then I go to Michael Jackson as a full-grown adult. I do all of those things because I love music. And, you know, I'm a music lover, so I love all forms of music. So I'm either listening to some Dolly Parton, I'm listening to some Loretta Lynn, I'm listening to some Bee Gees, I'm listening to some Temptations, I got some Diana Ross going, you know, I got some Evelyn Champagne King going, I got some Cheryl Lynn going, I have some M83 going, I have some Miles Davis going. Any of those things, the music is what gets me. One of my favorite songs that I just adore, and I say this a lot, I have a favorite song. Everything is my favorite. I just love music. But one of my favorite songs for uplifting me, and you're going to be like, what? That uplifts me and gets me going in the midst of my depression and helps to bring me out of it is I Want Your Love by Chic. I love that song. I Want Your Love. It's the music, the words, all of those things speak to me and it helps bring me out. It really does. Another song, and this is from the Chic organization too as well, Sister Sledge's He's the Greatest Dancer. Oh, the music is just something that reverberates within my soul. within my soul. It gives me energy. It lifts me. It makes me feel good about myself. So music, and everyone knows that music soothes the savage beast, right? So what music does is that, and this has been proven, music helps to, you know, center all of your senses, and it stimulates your senses, all of your senses. And what it does, it is has a real soothing and calming effect on the brain. So never discount music, never discount it. And if you are acknowledgeable and aware when you're going through your depressive episode that music can help, allow it to help you. Another calming thing that you can use along with music and listening to audiobooks and whatnot is being able to sit back and have a conversation with someone and be able to talk to someone or confide in someone that you care about, and be able to sit down, to be able to sit down and express to them how you're feeling and what you're feeling without judgment or incrimination, is really key and important. So find someone that can be on your team that you can talk to outside of your therapist that can really help you. It can really listen to you, because that will help you be able to express what you're feeling. And that's going to help you to get over that hump as well. You know, even if at the beginning, if you feel yourself going through, you know, get ready to go through a depressive state, being able to talk about it is wonderful. Being able to set a goal for yourself as you go through your depression is wonderful. And I have done that as well. I have set goals for myself, even though I have felt tired, without energy, no motivation or lack of motivation. I've just felt just really, really low and really bad about myself. But I set certain goals for myself for that day. This is what you're going to do today, Tracy. You're going to take a shower today. You're going to brush your teeth today. You're going to comb your hair today. You are going to put on clothes today. And you are going to crochet. You are going to write. You are going to do something that's connected with your purpose today. That is what you will be doing. And you have to be able to also talk to someone as you map out a plan of how to cope with your depression. You know, I work from home, so home is my base. But for many people, you know, even during this pandemic, people have to go to work. They have to eke out a living. So if you are clinically depressed and you're going through, you have a manic episode, you still have to get up and go to work, you know. And so what I would say for those people who are working outside of their home and going through depression, set goals, still set goals for yourself. Set fun goals for yourself. Do some things every day that is set, that has something to do with your passion or your purpose. Little things. And you, like I said before, giving yourself 15 increments of 15 minutes, whether it be in the morning, the afternoon, or in the evening, or all three, that's going to help you to be able to navigate through depression. Something else that's important to me, and that has always been important to me as I get older, is meditation. It's meditation. And meditation doesn't mean that I'm going to be sitting in a yoga style position for maybe a half an hour to 60 minutes in the morning time every day. Okay, because as a person who goes through clinical depression, bipolar disorder, that is an impossibility. That is impossible for me, especially if you're going through having an episode. But what you can do is that when you set goals for yourself, such as I'm going to get up and take a shower, the one thing that is really wonderful is that water is powerful. Water is a cleansing mechanism. Water soothes you. Water is, it's like you're being baptized by the universe every day to me. So when you step into the shower and you let that shower or water or bath, whatever, when you let it cover you, imagine that being the universe wrapping its arms around you, washing away some of that pain and hurt and sadness and gloom that you feel, raining upon you happiness, raining upon you stability, raining upon you energy, and just giving you that boost, the awakeness and the awareness that you need. So while you're in the shower or in the bath, what I do is I put on music and I get into the shower and I just let myself go. I let myself my spirit flow. I let myself, I let my mind, I open my mind. And sometimes I have incense going, so my senses are aware. I smell, you know, and if I have cloves going, you know, I love cloves, cloves, and you know, having my senses aware and tingling is something that gets me to meditating, you know, and just being conscious of self. Being with myself in shower for maybe 15 minutes, that's a source of meditation. It's a spiritual meditation, a way the universe helps to awaken us to ourselves every day. So that is how sometimes I meditate. It's just in that form. It doesn't have to be I'm sitting down in with my legs crossed and I'm, you know, my eyes are closed and I'm going through a chant or a mantra. It doesn't have to be that way. It's so many ways that we can meditate. And I think I discussed that in another episode about meditation, but there are many different things that you can do to meditate and that can help lift you, lift your spirits, to get you to be thinking within yourself, to help calm you, to be able to help you to stay grounded and present, even though you're going through a crisis, even though you're in the middle of chaos, you can present calm and peace and serenity, if not for 15 minutes out of your day, and that's going to help you to come out and ride that wave of depression. Another thing that I like to do that helps me also, besides meditation and listening to music and listening to audiobooks, another thing that really helps me is my crystal therapy. And I do a lot of crystal therapy, and I find that crystal therapy, crystal healing, you know, it just really, for me, it gives me purpose. Right now I'm wearing amethyst on my wrist, and I have a large crystal quartz around my neck, my necklace. And I find that crystal healing just, it adds another level of peace and calm and a sense of serenity for me, especially when I'm going through my depression. And there are 10 crystals that you can use for dealing with or coping with depression. And I'm going to give you just a few. And you can find these at your local metaphysical store. And I also sell some of these crystals in my own online boutique, Blue Lotus Heal Design. So, you know, we can talk about it. And I can help you out, you know, in purchasing some crystals for your crystal healing. The first crystal that helps with depression, aids in depression, is rutilated quartz, which I have around my neck. So quartz offers a large variety of benefits that qualifies it as one of the best crystals for depression. It is an extremely uplifting stone that can bring us feelings of joy and lightness. So the energy from the quartz not only cleanses and balances our chakras, but it helps to heal our soul. And it can also be used to amplify the healing powers of other crystals. And that's why I wear my quartz necklace, because I wanted to enhance the amethyst bracelets that I wear on each wrist. Now, this is an empowering crystal that can help us to stop feeling stuck and to motivate us to do what we have to do. Its energy is similar to that of a guardian angel, helps us to make good decisions, and heals us and leads us to solve problems with our intuition. Another crystal that's really good for healing, for emotional healing and depression, is carnelian. Carnelian is known as the stone of motivation and endurance. It helps us to take action with its empowering and motivating energy. So if you need an energy boost or a mental pick-me-up, carnelian is a great crystal to use. So carnelian has that power to help you make different changes, positive changes in your life. It promotes feelings of passion and courage. Its bold energy and warmth reduces anxiety and fatigue. And when you use carnelian, the crystal, you notice that certain things in your life falls into place with ease. And, you know, it helps to be a conduit between for success and prosperity and different various resources that you want in your life. Carnelian is also a protective crystal, and it protects us against anger, resentment, and abuse. So this is a great stone or crystal of motivation. Carnelian is really great, and I have some carnelian. I have a couple of carnelian bracelets in my store, in my boutique, and I have customers that really, you know, they really say great things about their carnelian jewelry. And as a motivation stone and an endurance stone, that is just, you know, it's wonderful, because when you're going through depression, you have this sense of no motivation or low motivation, and what the carnelian is going to do is going to boost that. So if you're feeling, you know, well, I don't want to get out of bed today, maybe a little carnelian is what will help motivate you to will motivate you to, you know, get out of bed, take those steps of getting out of bed and jumping in the shower and allowing water to baptize you for the day and to soothe you and to empower you and to get you started on your way. You know, we all need a boost, and carnelian is the crystal that can do that. As I said before, I have amethyst bracelets on right now. I love amethyst. Amethyst is also one of my go-to crystals. Amethyst is such a wonderful companion for anyone who is struggling emotionally. It's an energy booster. It soothes you. It helps to uplift you. It is a great way of lifting yourself out of depression. It's a stress melter. It also helps to improve your mood. What amethyst also does is it transmutes negative energy into positive energy, so that emotional pain seems to lift away. Instead of having an empty feeling, it blankets your family in love. Your body in love. By using this crystal for depression, you might also notice that your spiritual life improves. Amethyst vibrates with the energy of the third eye chakra, which helps us tap into our intuition and feel guided from our universal realms. And what I've noticed about amethyst the most is that if I'm going through an episode of depression, amethyst helps me to move quickly through it. I'm going through the phases of it, but I'm able to move through those phases of my depression, and I'm able to navigate it, and I'm able to come out of it quickly. I'm not languishing there for months and months and months on end. I'm able to move through it, and sometimes it'll take me a couple of weeks or so to be able to move through. And I noticed that for myself, using these crystals really helped me. It's real, folks. It really is. It's real, and crystals are powerful. Another powerful crystal that you can use for, and that I've used for managing my depression, is citrine. And citrine is called the happy stone because it has a joyful energy about it that helps lift us out of a bad mood, sadness, or numbness that is associated with depression. This stone absorbs negative energy and brings in positive energy, carrying a sunny disposition and a radiant glow to its wearer. It provides physical energy needed to embrace the moment with positivity, focus, and self-confidence. Citrine is also a manifestation tool which helps us to bring about new opportunities, new perspectives, and also our desires. Citrine combats stagnation and gives us a burst of forward moving energy. And I have worn citrine or been moved to wear citrine, and when I do, I have that burst of energy. What it does for me is it helps me creatively, and I'm able to think about and certain aspects of different projects that I am creating, and it helps me to become more definitive about certain things. And that's because citrine is the happy stone. So when you are happy and you are a creative such as myself, you're just full of intent, and that intent is intensive. And so, you know, it just really brings out that artistic side. And it helps you to really flow as an artist. And especially when you're moving through the different phases of clinical depression. So those are just a few stones, a few crystals that I use as part of my crystal healing. And in upcoming episodes, I will talk more about crystal healing and the way crystal healing can use crystal healing to enhance your mental health wellness. So I hope that today's episode, I was able to give you some suggestions on how to manage your mental health as far as being diagnosed with clinical depression. And as I said, for me, clinical depression, or for me, bipolar disorder level 1, what I've learned is that it is something that I can manage. It is something that I will always have to address in my life. I will always be on medication because I have mood swings and things of that nature, and I acknowledge that. There was a time when I was not on medication, and that would be my teen years and through to my 20s and 30s. And there are moments in my life where I've had actual blackouts where I don't recall certain things, but I have had to suffer the consequences of my actions because of going through or being in bipolar having bipolar or manic episodes, not being on medication. And so when you are not taking the medications that are tailored to fit your mental health illness, then your illness runs rampant. It runs amok. It's uncontrolled. And so your life is basically chaotic, and you make decisions based on where you are in that time. And so I made a lot of decisions about my life. I made a lot of decisions about my life while I was in the middle of a mental health crisis. Being bipolar level one, excuse me, and it's uncontrolled, I went through a lot of crises. I went through a lot of manic episodes. And that's why I believe that mental health awareness is very important, and it should be something that we all talk about, because as I said earlier, we all have a brain. So we are all susceptible to having mental health crises, and we need to talk about this. It should be discussed. It should be discussed without judgment. Family members should be educated. Caregivers should be educated. Everyone who comes in contact with someone who is has been diagnosed with some form of mental illness should be educated on what that mental illness is, the symptoms of it, the symptoms of an episode, and how to manage and cope with it. Everyone should be educated on that. No one should be without the knowledge of how to deal with or how to manage mental health. This should be something that we all talk about. It should be something that we all are familiar with. There shouldn't be a stigma on mental illness. There shouldn't be a, ooh, look at her, she's crazy. Look at her over there. Look at her. She's acting crazy right now. No. No, there shouldn't be a stigma on it. There shouldn't be any judgment on it. There shouldn't be religions that tell people, that tell their congregants that if you are suffering from mental illness, it's really because of a lack of spirituality. It's because you're a devil worshiper. You're you're a low frequency Christian. No. Because mental illness has everything to do with your brain. It's like this: if you broke your foot, would you go to your pastor for advice? No. If you break your foot, you go to your doctor. You go to an orthopedic surgeon. You go to those people to help you. You go to a professional. And just like with mental illness is not something that your doctor can help. I mean, not your doctor. Your pastor can help you with. No, your pastor cannot help you with mental illness. Your pastor cannot. The Bible cannot help you with mental illness. Okay, I'm just going to put it there. I'm going to put it out there. And you can dispute it and debate it with me, but I'm going to tell you that a professional can help you with it because they are skilled and knowledgeable in this area of mental health. Now, a pastor can educate himself or herself and become a mental health advocate or a mental health awareness advocate. Yes, but you can't substitute a mental health professional for a pastor. You just can't unless that mental health professional is a pastor. maybe that's the case, but 9 times out of 10, it's not the case. So what I'm trying to say is that we all need to be aware, we all need to be educated, and we cannot continue to live with a stigma, because in some cases, mental illness is something that is hereditary. It can be hereditary in some cases. So this is a generational thing. And then there is the situation where, as far as African Americans, as far as mental health is concerned, we have that dread or that tie to post-traumatic stress disorder that has not been addressed, that is a carryover from slavery. So that's another issue of mental health or mental illness that a lot of us are dealing with. All of us are dealing with in some manner as African Americans. So those things have to be addressed. And what we cannot do is we cannot allow ourselves to sit back and have an attitude or nonchalant attitude about our mental health, because as I said before, we all have a brain, and so we are all susceptible to that brain misfiring or malfunctioning, which is just a chemical imbalance that sometimes happens in our minds, so in our brains. So sometimes our brains, because of an chemical imbalance, sometimes it misfires and it has to be adjusted. And we cannot continue to perpetuate judgment and myths upon those of us who have been clinically diagnosed with some type of mental health disorder. So that's what this discussion is really about. It's about my journey. It's about your journey. It's about all of us being healthy, being exercising self-care, being fully functioning as individuals, so that we can go about our purpose, so that we can continue to manifest who we are, so that we can live our fullest and best lives despite having certain obstacles that we need to overcome. And this can be overcame. Okay? Yes, I may be dealing with clinical depression for the rest of my life, but that's not going to stop me from fulfilling my purpose. That's not going to stop me from the journey that I have been sent here to continue. That is not going to stop me from living my purpose, and it shouldn't stop you from being who you need to be and for living. It should not stop you from living your purpose and being the best person and the best spirit creature having a human existence on this planet can be. It should not stop you from that. You should be continuing to move forward in your life despite having clinical depression, despite living with clinical depression. And I hope that I was able to give you a little advice today on how you can manage your clinical depression through non-traditional or unconventional methods. And as I said before, do not displace or stop, discontinue, or substitute anything that you've heard here. Don't stop taking your medication. Don't discontinue going to see your therapist. Do not do that. I'm advising you not to do that right now. Do not stop taking your meds. Do not stop seeing your therapist. Those two things are important, and they are all part of your team. They are all part of your wellness team. And let this broadcast be just a file for you to keep handy for those moments when you are feeling out of sorts. Also, allow me to be a part of your team. We all have to work together on a team. It can't be an I team. We have to be, or a me team. It has to be, we all have to work together to make the team work. So in order to make your life a little easier, allow me to be on the team with you. Let me ride the bench and give you a little bit of advice on what it is that I'm doing to keep myself going. Because, you know, we're all in this together. Believe me, we're all in this together. And anything that I can advise or help or suggest to you that can make your life better, I want to do that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Off the Wall with Tracy Ricks Foster. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And I hope that I was able to disseminate information to you in a clear way, in a loving way. And I hope that you were able to take it in that way. I really hope that you're able to get through this day in a loving way and a bright and positive way. And if you're going through depression right now, I wish you the best. And I say, turn on some music, girl. Turn on some music, man. Let that music flow through you and lift you up. And if you're not able to do that right now, I understand, because I've been there too. You know, you got to do what you got to do. But listening to this broadcast is the first step. And if you need to listen to it again, go right on ahead. If you want to share it, go right on ahead and do that. Because as I said, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. You're not alone. Don't feel as if you are alone, because you're not alone. There are a lot of us who are going through clinical depression. And you can manage it, and you can cope with it, and you can continue to live your purpose. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I hope to see you next week on Off the Wall with Tracy Ricks Foster. Bye-bye.